I also greet you this morning in the name of Jesus. God is good. God has richly blessed us. Appreciated the thoughts that have been shared today already. I invite you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14, a text verse. We just had this in our Sunday school lesson a month or so ago, and it's a phrase in this verse that really stood out to me. I felt led to share on today. Ephesians 2, verse 14, it says, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." Titled the message this morning, Walls of Partition. I'd like to read this chapter, make some comments. In verse 1, it says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." I'd like to notice especially the part here in verses 11 and 12 where it talks about ye were. Ye were in the time past, but it's a past tense. But he says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." And it says that he is our peace, speaking of Jesus Christ. He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Now this is talking about the wall of partition that was between the Jews and the Gentiles, between the, as it mentions here in verse 12, the commonwealth of Israel, the chosen people of God, and the Gentiles. There was like a wall of partition between them, and it says that Jesus Christ made both of these people one, and he broke down that middle wall of partition, and he united them as his church. In John 10, Jesus says that he has other sheep which are not of this fold, which he needs to bring into his fold. And I believe he was referring to the Gentiles there when he talked about that. And he says in verse 15 that he abolished in his flesh the enmity. He did away with it. the enmity that was between Jews and Gentiles. And they were on, you know, Jews on one side of the wall, Gentiles on the other side of the wall. And it is saying that Jesus broke that down. He took away the enmity, the hostility that they had towards each other. He took that wall away, and he became their peace. He became their unity. He made them one. And that was his prayer, that when Jesus was praying to God in John 17, he said that they may be one, even as you and I are one. Even as Jesus Christ and the Father are one. He said his prayer is that his people, his church, Jews and Gentiles, and Jews and Jews and Gentiles may be one, that his church may be one. That was his desire, the heart of God. And in verse 18, it says that we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Not two spirits, not coming up, you know, from a middle wall of partition, and Jews over here and Gentiles over here, and have one Spirit for the Jews and one Spirit for the Gentiles, and we both come up to the Father. No, he is saying we've removed the wall, we have made you one, and you both have the same Spirit, and you both through the same Spirit have access to the Father, to God. And then he's also saying, verse 22, that together you are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. That Spirit that is living within you, within Jews and Gentiles. You have that same Spirit dwelling within you in habitation. It is like you are the house of God, and the Spirit of God is living in you, is what he is saying. So as we look at walls of partition in our world, in our churches, communities, families, whatever, in relationships that we have today, I believe it is not God's will that there should be divisions, that there should be middle walls of partition between us to where we feel like we are separated. You know, just like he broke down that middle wall of partition and he brought the Jews and the Gentiles, in spite of their different cultures and beliefs, he brought them together into one. He became their peace. He became their unity. In that same way, when there are walls of partition between us and other people, whether it's in the community or church or family or wherever it is, I believe it is not God's will that those walls of partition are there. But it is God's will that Jesus Christ would break down those walls and that we could become one, because as it says here, he is our peace. It is not God's will for his people to be separated and have walls between us, but that he wants us to love each other. He wants us to be a shining light. You know, and that, as Jesus said in the Gospel of John, that by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. That is the heart of God, that when people from the outside look into the church of Christ, that they see a shining light, they see a people that love each other, a people that are united, that have peace among themselves, and that are one in heart because of Jesus Christ. That, you know, that when the people look in, they would see Jesus Christ, not see people here who are cold toward each other, who have walls of partition between themselves, who don't love each other, that there is enmity there, and that, you know, it's like the one says, I'm on this side of the wall, and the other says, I'm on that side of the wall, and I have this Spirit I'm praying up to the Father. You have that Spirit you're praying up to the Father. No, that's not the way it is, but those walls should be broken down to where we are united in one, and we have access to the Father through the same Spirit. So as we look at these walls of partition, let's never forget the were part in verses 11 and 12. We were. You know, when we remember that we were who we were without God. We had no hope in the world. We were separated from Christ. It is only through Jesus Christ that we have access to the Father. And when we look at the person on the other side of the wall, we need to remember that were part. You know, we might consider the other person to be separated from God and having no hope in the world, but we need to remember that I was once there too. And, you know, if I look down on the other person on the other side of the wall, then, you know, I'm probably getting there myself if I'm not already. And I appreciated the thoughts shared this morning on the Beatitudes, and Brother Chad shared about being poor in spirit. You know, that is a part of the word, to to be poor in spirit. When we remember that we were, it helps us to be poor in spirit. And when we need to remember of what we were saved from, of who we really are, of the sinful man that I really am. You know, as we look at this, of that it is not God's will that there are walls in our relationship, why then do we have walls in our relationships? Why do we so many times have these walls or partition, walls that separate us? I believe it is because we are human, because we have this carnal nature that we have to deal with. You know, when we look at the Word of God, we see the Apostle Paul that we look up to as, you know, a good example of a disciple of Jesus Christ, the one who said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." We look at the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Barnabas. They had a disagreement, a separation, a contention between them that was so sharp, it says that they separated one from the other just because they couldn't agree on whether or not to take John Mark with them on their next missionary journey. You know, Barnabas said, "Let's take him." Paul said, "No, he didn't stay with us." And the contention was so sharp that they parted one from the other and they went their separate ways. You know, I don't know what that was all about. I don't know how all that was. You know, maybe God had a purpose in that, that he could use Paul and Barnabas better, in a better way, if they were separated. I don't know that he allowed that. The Bible doesn't specifically say that there was a reconciliation on that matter, that that wall was ever brought down. But in 2 Timothy 4:11, Paul said, "Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Now, I don't know if it's talking about the same Mark or not. Could be. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But there are also several times in Paul's epistles that he refers to himself and Barnabas. You know, so maybe there was a time that there was reconciliation. You know, and as far as it being maybe God's will that they were more effective in their ministry separated, you know, that, like I said, that's a possibility. But maybe the argument could have been handled in a different way, in a more peaceful manner, where they would have agreed to disagree and they would have blessed one another. They would have gone their separate ways in their ministry, but they would have blessed one another in the work that God called them to, instead of the contention being so sharp that I take it they almost, like, you know, parted, not feeling good about each other. It was like a wall that was there. So when you find yourself in a situation, and if you find yourself in that situation right now, you know, where there is a wall of partition between you and another person, especially when it's a person in the church, remind yourself that this is not the will of God. It is not God's will that there should be a wall between you and another person, especially within the Church of Jesus Christ. So when you find yourself in that situation, then ask yourself, what have I as an individual done to contribute to the building of this wall? You know, the natural reaction when there are walls in relationships is for us to try to look around the wall and to analyze the person on the other side of the wall and see, what did that person do to build the wall between us? And we blame the other person. You know, that is a natural reaction that has been going on ever since. Back in the Garden of Eden, you know, when Adam and Eve sinned, they all tried to blame somebody else. That's a natural reaction. And if we look at the other person on the other side of the wall, chances are we're going to find fault. We're going to find reasons. We're going to find things that that person did to contribute to the building of the wall. Yeah, we'll see faults. I know if you look at me, you're going to see fault. If there's walls between you and me, you're going to see faults in me that I have done, that I have contributed to building the wall. And I believe that in our culture, we as a people in our culture have grossly erred and failed in this thing of when there is differences that we put up walls. Instead of, like Tim Weaver said, when there is conflict, you go towards the conflict. You work for reconciliation. You talk about it. You lay the things out on the table. Versus our culture is, when there's differences, we put up a wall and we don't talk about it. We back off, but we don't feel good about the other person, and we blame the other person. You know, but when there are walls in relationships, I think you could probably say most of the time there is probably fault on both sides. Now, there may be exceptions to the rule, and I don't profess to be an expert on this because I have so many areas in my life where I fail in relating and, you know, allowing walls, contributing to walls being built, things that I had to repent of, and, you know, things I need to work on. You know, maybe one exception would be when there is an abusive situation, you know, where the abuser is taking advantage of a victim to where the wall is built, but mostly the fault would be on the abuser's side and not on the victim's side. And then on the other hand, when you have, or another exception would be when, in the case of Jesus Christ, when he related to people, there were people who did not like what he said. When he spoke the truth in love, they were offended at him, and they put up walls. Well, the fault was not on Jesus Christ's side. Absolutely not. He was perfect, sinless. The fault was on the people on the other side who were offended at the truth that he spoke to them. So when we relate to people in a Christ-like manner, we speak the truth in love as the Spirit of God moves us and the other person is offended, then the fault would not be with us. You know, if we err because of our humanity and we say things we shouldn't, yeah, the fault is on our part. But when it is the Word of God spoken in truth and in love and the other person is offended, then the fault is on the other side, other person's side. So I would look at, I'd like to look at some points here briefly as so far as these walls of partition. What causes walls of partition? Disagreements, for one. Disagreements that escalate into ill will. Moves on into unforgiveness. Moves on into bitterness. You know, that causes walls in relationship. Now, I remember some of the heated arguments that us boys in school had about which truck and tractor is the best. You know, pointless arguments that really didn't prove anything. And you look at some of those companies today that we hotly defended, it may not even exist anymore. You know, what point, what did we gain by the argument? Maybe didn't necessarily build walls, but certainly didn't help for the goodwill between us. You know, especially when somebody's brand of tractor broke down and that was pointed out in front of his friends, you know, as saying that, you know, see, that thing is no good. That's a piece of junk. It doesn't matter who built it. It's man-made. At some point in time, it is going to break down. You know, in situations like that, there are walls because both parties are sitting on their respective side of the fence and they are both saying that I am right and you are wrong. I am right and you are wrong. And neither one is willing to give an inch. And I'm talking now about issues in real life, not just pointless arguments about which tractors are the best. But I'm talking about issues that come up in life, petty issues sometimes in the church that may be even more pointless. Or there may be issues and matters of right and wrong. And maybe there are ways that we relate that are wrong. And we're both sitting here on our respective sides of the fence and of the wall of partition, and we say, I am right and you're wrong. And we're not willing to humble ourselves and even try to look at it from the other brother or person's perspective at all. But we're just saying, you know, I am this guy that I am. I'm high and mighty, and you over there, you are wrong. I'm right. Hurts in areas will build walls or can build walls if we let them. Someone betrays your confidence with something you have shared confidentially, and that hurts you, and you put up a wall. I'm never going to share anything with that person again. misunderstandings. Something that was said or done and it was meant in a good way, but I take it wrong, and because of that I put up a wall. A lack of communication. Brother Phil said that the lack of communication breeds suspicion. A lack of relationship. Like I said, I believe our culture has greatly erred in the area of relationship. You know, when you have suspicion, then you start imagining things. And you start seeing things that maybe don't really exist. But because of the lack of communication, the lack of relationship, you become suspicious and you start seeing things in that other person that maybe don't even really exist. And then you begin to imagine those things, you begin to believe them to be true. And then you might share with somebody else what you imagined about the other person because you started to believe it. And then you gossip about that. Yeah, as you share that, that gossip goes around, it comes back to the other person, and the wall goes up higher and stronger than ever. Another thing that causes partition, walls of partition, is sin in our hearts. We have sin in our lives. In Matthew 7, I don't have time to turn to that, but Jesus was talking about the things that defile a man. The Pharisees were concerned about Jesus' disciples eating with hands that weren't washed. And Jesus said that it is not that what goes into a man that defiles a man, but it's that what comes out of a man. That is what defiles a man. And he listed a list of things, you know, things coming out of your heart. He said it is those things that defiles a man. And when we have a heart that is loaded down with sin like that, that is a heart that cannot love. That cannot love the other person as itself. And therefore it makes a person selfish and it causes walls to go up. Things like pride and high-mindedness, or even things like low self-esteem, where you have the feeling of being inferior, and you try to prove who you are. Someone has said that you can't fix yourself by breaking someone else. And also, you can't keep someone else down in the ditch without staying down in the ditch yourself. Now I'd like to look at what are some results of walls of partition. When the walls go up, because of the causes that we talked about, what are some of those results? What happens when there are walls of partition? One is there is loneliness. You know, God created us to relate to each other, to interact with each other, to enjoy fellowship. When we put walls up, it separates us from other people. It makes us lonely. It causes a spirit of independence, the spirit that says, I don't need you. I am better than you. I am right, you're wrong, remember? And it takes away the desire for fellowship, because I don't want to fellowship with you because I'm better than you, because you're wrong and I'm right. I don't want to fellowship with you. I don't need you anyway. And it creates a spiritual coldness. You know, our relationship with God is no better than our relationship with our brother or sister. When we sit on opposite sides of walls like that, it brings about hate, bitterness, and suspicion that I mentioned earlier. It brings us to the point of blaming others and maybe even to the point of blaming God. So as we're sitting on different sides of the walls of partition, what can we do to break down the walls of perdition? That's the next point. What are some ways to break down the walls of perdition? I think the verse on the board is good. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. I have to think of the last couple of verses of that same chapter. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. So I think that is the first question we should ask ourselves. When we are sitting on the other side of a wall from someone in a relationship, I should ask myself, God, what have I done? God, search my heart and show me what have I done to contribute to this wall. Remember, our first instinct is to ask, what did the other person do to contribute to this wall? And we try to justify ourselves like the Pharisee did in the temple. And when God shows us what we have done, then repentance is the next step in breaking down the wall. And if we haven't been born again, the new birth, a brokenness, a being willing to do whatever God asks you to do. You know, when that wall is up and God is wanting you to be reconciled to your brother or sister on the other side of the wall, you need to be willing to do whatever God asks you to do to be reconciled. A brokenness. And you need a heart that is filled with the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Another way to help to break down the wall, I believe, is not waiting on the other person to make the first move. Even if you feel like the other person has basically built the wall and you are almost innocent. Don't wait on the other person to make the first move, but you make the first move towards reconciliation. Completely release the other person to God that you feel is in the wrong. Forgive. Let it go. Be quick to say that I was wrong and I'm sorry. And then give the other person time to work through hurts that you have caused. You know, when you have caused hurts to the person on the other side, and because of that, the walls have gone up, be willing to give that person time to work through those hurts and to be willing to learn and learn to trust you again. You know, don't demand that you've got to trust me, but be willing to gain their trust, to earn their trust. But if you were the one that was hurt, be quick to forgive. Put yourself out there again, even if the other person has hurt you in the past. Give the other person more than one chance. Give them multiple chances. Put yourself out there. Risk being hurt again. You know, even if the other person doesn't seem to be truly sorry, put yourself out there. Risk that. The relationship is worth it. Value relationship. We must value relationship with the other person in order to break down that wall. You know, if you don't value the relationship, you're not going to put in the effort to break down the wall. Humility, being poor in spirit, is very vital to breaking down the wall. And then also a proper self-esteem, loving yourself as God loves you. And there are different instances we could look at in the Bible of relationships that were restored, walls that were broken down. One I had to think of was Jacob's reconciliation to Esau in Genesis chapter 32 and 33. A very beautiful account there of after Jacob had supplanted Esau, had wrongfully used him, and then Jacob came and he offered those gifts, those different droves, and the people came and they bowed themselves down to Esau. They called him Lord. So if your brother has something against you, in Matthew 5, 23 and 24, it says, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." So if you are going and you want to, and this is talking about going to the altar, so I think it, you know, in our day we could liken this to when you go to come before God in prayer, and you want to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but you remember that your brother has something against you. This is saying that we should first go and, you know, leave our sacrifice there. First go and be reconciled to our brother. Do everything we can in humility to be reconciled to that brother. And then come and have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's almost like he is saying that you can't have a relationship with God until you have reconciled your relationship with your brother. I don't profess to completely understand that scripture. And then in Matthew 18, we have the direction that is given to us of how we should go about it if a brother sins against us and the wall goes up. to break down that wall. He says that we should go and we should talk to that brother between you and him alone. We should entreat him. We should talk to him about the wrong, the sin in his life. And if he doesn't accept that, give it some time, pray about it, and take a couple of other brethren with you and entreat him again. And if he still doesn't hear, then it says we should take it to the church. As we heard this morning about being peacemakers, Matthew 5, verse 9. Lastly, the next point I'd like to look at is, what are some benefits of breaking down the walls of partition? In 1 John 1, 7, it says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Some of the benefits are cleansing, fellowship, freedom. You know, it is so freeing to forgive. We have light that shines into our hearts. It is such a blessing to be able to walk in the light and to know that there is no sin that I have hidden in my heart that I'm keeping from you. And then lastly, keeping the walls down. How do we keep the walls down when we got them broken down? Walking honestly, openly. Being open with your life. I have nothing to hide. I am open. I am free. Love and forgive freely. Keep a close relationship with Jesus Christ. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Be willing to do whatever the Holy Spirit asks you to do or say. By love, serve one another. And remember how valuable that relationship with your brother or sister is. Remember how much you need your brothers and sisters. And lastly, remember the were part. You were without God, having no hope. You were separated. You were grafted in. Remember that. We all need each other. We all need the Lord Jesus Christ. So may God bless you as you, by his grace, remove those walls. Let's kneel for prayer.